Praise the Lord. Greetings to you all in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is a blessing for me to be here in the midst of all of you. Thank you so much, church, for your continuous prayers on our behalf. God has been so good to us. In the last few months, we have been able to be here in Canada, and we got back from Mexico in almost March of this year, and then God, the reason why we were here in Canada is because we wanted to apply for Betty's Canadian citizenship. So she needed to stay in Canada for 3 months so that we could begin the application. So in the month of July, we were able to, July, we were able to finish the requirement and apply, and we have surrendered it into the hands of God. Now we are planning to go back to Mexico on September 18th. So just 9 more days. Continue to uphold us in your prayers. You as a church have been praying for us. You as a church have been interceding for us. And for us, this church is like a family. Every time Betty and I say that we're going to come to KPC, it brings us a joy. Even Jedediah, we tell him we are coming to KPC, he is excited because he knows he has his friends here. So for us as a family, it is not just like we see ourselves as a role or a job or anything of that sort. We feel like we are in the midst of family. And especially, I'm so happy that I got to see two of our little ones. You know, they're not little anymore, but, you know, it's so good to see that you guys decided to obey and take water baptism. You know, there is no greater joy for parents or for us to see the next generation walking in the commandments of the Lord. There is no greater joy knowing that our children are secure in the hands of Jesus. I'll tell you today, what we invest in our children, you know, one day they might lose it, but whatever we invest in our children for eternity, they will never lose it. So we have to teach our children. The word of God is clear. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So we need to tell our children that your treasure is not on the earth. Your treasure is not in your education. Your treasure is not in your degree. Your treasure is not in how much you possess. Your treasure is not in your rank. Your treasure is not in your friends. Your treasure is, I would even say, it's not even in your family, but your treasure is in Christ. And if you have gained Christ, nothing can take that from you. The word of God is clear. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. So I just want to share a verse that God put in my heart, Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, and just share a very simple thing Galatians chapter 2, Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, that's right. Keep reading, yeah. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Go ahead. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Thank you. The word of God is clear. How many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ? See, from the very beginning of time, it was God's purpose that God wanted humanity to be restored. Throughout the Gospels, and even in the Old Testament, the first 5 books, we hear the story that God wanted to walk with man. In the Garden of Eden, even in Genesis chapter 3, even after the serpent had tricked Eve and Adam into falling, our Lord, our God, came into the garden asking, "Where are you, Adam?" You can ask, didn't God, who's omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful God know where Adam was? Did God need Adam to say, "Here I am"? Did God lose Adam? Did God not know where Adam was? Did God not know where Adam was hiding? Did God not know what Adam did? Nothing was hidden from God. Nothing is hidden from God. Yet, he desired to come to the garden and say, "Adam, where are you?" That is God's grace. നമ്മൾ പാടിയതുപോലെ, ദൈവമേ നിന്റെ കൃപ മതി എനിക്ക്, നീ മാത്രം മതി എനിക്ക്. അത് ചുമ്മാതെ നമ്മൾ വാക്ക് നമ്മൾ കൈകെട്ടി പാടാൻ മാത്രമല്ല, അത് നമ്മുടെ ജീവിതത്തിൽ നമ്മൾ അത് ടേസ്റ്റ് ചെയ്തറിയണം. ദൈവത്തിൻ്റെ കൃപ മാത്രം, ഹിസ് ഗ്രേസ് അലോൺ. വി സാങ് ഇൻ മലയാളം, ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഹിസ് ഗ്രേസ് അലോൺ ദറ്റ് കീപ്സ് അസ്. And he asked Adam, "Where are you?" And what was Adam doing? Both Adam and Eve were hiding behind a bush. Why are they hiding? Because they are afraid. They are ashamed. Adam and Eve, as soon as they fell, they recognized their nakedness. But you can ask this question. Were they naked behind the bush? No. Were they naked behind the bush? No. They had just used fig leaves to cover themselves. Right? The Bible says they used fig leaves to cover their nakedness. So are they naked anymore? No. But they know they are naked before an all-knowing God. They can hide their shame from one another. Adam could hide his shame from Eve. Eve could hide his shame from Adam. They could hide their shame in front of all the animals, in front of all of creation. But they knew one thing: they can't hide their shame before God. So even though they covered themselves, before God, they were absolutely naked. So Adam says, "We are here, but we are naked." Even though he is not technically naked, he knows before God he's naked. "We are naked and we are ashamed." And God asks, "Did you eat of the fruit that I told you not?" What is God doing? God does not recognize that Adam fell. God did not see Adam's shame in that moment. No. God was looking for relationship even after humanity fell. God desired for Adam and Eve to run to God and say, "God, we have fallen. God, we are ashamed. God, we tried to cover our nakedness and yet we epically failed. Only you can cover our nakedness. Only you can take our shame. Only you can restore what has been lost." And so even then, in the Garden of Eden, before humankind was banished from his presence, God said a prophecy to Adam and Eve and said, "Your seed, Eve, will crush the head of the serpent." Even before they had left, God made a way. And so over there we see, what did God do to take away their nakedness and their shame? What did God do? He took the skin of an animal and covered them. Where did he get the skin? through the process of sacrifice. It was in the Garden of Eden where God took a spotless lamb that did not commit any sin, that was in the perfect creation without any fault. Even though it did not sin, God took its life and took the skin of this perfect, blemishless, spotless lamb and covered Adam and Eve's sin and said, "Now, the requirement from you that in the day you shall sin, you will die. I have now took that judgment and put it on something else that shouldn't have died in your place." So when we come to Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Revelation 13 says this, "The Lamb that was slain before the creation of the world." That means even before Adam and Eve sinned, even before a fall came into the thought of human beings, God, the all-knowing one, foresaw our weakness, our pain, our shame, and already made a way so that our sins can be covered. So children, your decision to be baptized today is you are saying, "God, take my nakedness. Take my shame. I have tried so hard to cover the shame all my life, and I have epically failed. I have been able to cover it from my friends. I've been able to cover it in front of my pastor. I've been able to cover it in front of my family. But there is one person who sees me as I am, and God, nothing is hidden from you. And so, Lord, I come as I am, and I say, cover me with your precious blood. Cover me and make atonement for me as you did in the Garden of Eden so I can be restored back to the place where I lost relationship. I can be brought back into the garden again. I can come and I can be seated in heavenly places so I can enter the throne room of grace without trembling, without fear, because I know that the one who intercedes on my behalf is there. And as the accuser of the brethren, which is the other name for Satan, says, Joel is not fit to come into your kingdom. He's not fit to be in your presence. Judy, you're not fit to be in your presence, in God's presence. Elsa, you're not fit to be in God's presence. The angel of the Lord, which in the Old Testament is a shadow of who Jesus is, a theophany of Jesus, will say, take away their dirty clothes. Take away their garments. Take away their fig leaves and put on them a clean turban. Put on them white robes. Because in Revelation chapter 11, when John sees a giant group of people who are worshiping the King of Kings from every language, tribe and tongue, it is not just Malayalis, not just Malayalam, but people from every language, tribe and tongue, from every color, from every nation, every place in the globe, as they are singing hallelujah, hosanna to the Lamb, as they are worshiping the Lamb who was slain. The elder comes up to John and says, who are these people? And John says, why are you asking me? I don't know. Then the elder says, these are the people who have made their robes white by washing themselves in the blood of the Lamb. And to the church in Sardis, Jesus, not John, Jesus says, those who are worthy and have kept their clothes white, they are worthy to walk with me, and I shall not erase their name from the book of life. Let us celebrate today because two more people's name have been added into the book of life. In fact, they have never been erased because from the beginning of time, God saw them. Even before the parents saw them, even before September of 2009, even before December of 2009, God saw his children. And his name and his in his book of life, they are written. Children of God, that is our legacy. Our names are in the book of life. We can worship him today because of what he has done. It is your grace alone. It is not my work. It is not my salvation. It is not what I have done. But before even the creation of the entire world, even before the creation of the universe, you made a way. A lamb that was slain to carry away the sins of the world. And so that is our legacy, children of God. When you go through different situations, when you go through painful situations and you feel abandoned, know that the one who paid the price for you is still reigning on the throne. So we don't have to be afraid because our God is with us. May God bless us with these words. Please continue to uphold me and my family in prayers. And I, as I'm obligated to pray for KPC, so I'm constantly praying for KPC. And remember you all in my prayers. May God bless you all. Thank you, Pastor, for this time.